In this slide, we are talking about the four different types of training needs. Focusing only on the performance deficiency in need analysis is to be restrictive. What does it mean? It means that 9 out of 10 cases, when the performance comes down, they say we need a training. In the training need analysis, one of the things they focus is performance deficiency. Performance deficiency is not the only thing because of which the training is going. So when you say don't be restrictive in doing a need analysis only for performance deficiency, there are other areas also where you need to focus. So this slide is talking about it. There could be democratic needs, diagnostic needs, analytical needs, and also compliance needs. Democratic needs, diagnostic needs, analytical needs, and compliance needs. So here we are discussing democratic needs, diagnostic needs, analytical needs, and compliance needs. So like we said in the earlier slide, it need not be only when the performance comes down that you send people for training. There are other reasons also. First one is employees are given the choice to select the training that they need badly. This is a practice in many companies. They have a training timetable, different levels, different positions and people are working in. They are allocated after doing research that this position requires these type of training. So the training titles are put there and given to them. And so many hours of training, 80 hours of training in a year or 100 hours of training in a year, whatever. There's some way of evaluating, putting it across. And the employees choose that for my progress, I need to go for this training. So employees will choose based on their own drives and desires. And they need to be guided by their supervisors to know that for your growth, you need to go for this training. Democratic needs. So you're given the choice, like in a democracy, to do what you want to do. And you're expected to do the best for you, for your growth. Second is diagnostic needs. Focuses on the factors that lead to the effective performance and prevent performance problems rather than emphasize on existing problems. This is called a deflecting. You have a problem, that problem is compounding. Now, instead of addressing the problem, I deflect you away from that and put you in a different department, or I expect a different performance from you. Now, when does this happen? A person is highly talented in one area, but that talent is not being used right now. He is being used for a different area where the talent is not there. He's got a lot of issues. So there are two ways of looking at him now. Either throw him out of the company, which is the last thing you should do, or look at him as a person who's got the other talent, which is very good. And so put him, give him into a job, put him in a job function where that talent develops. So you do a diagnosis like a doctor. What are the things that are good in you? What are the things that can be improved, etc.? So this is again a thing. So this need will address what? That in the company, there are existing talents and skills and competencies, which are not, some of them are not used. We studied about this in HRA, Human Resources Audit. And Human Resources Audit, in which we talk about multiple skills, which every individual has. And we use only one part of the skills in organizations. So when you know the other skills which are not being used, you can direct this person into that direction and bring out the best in him, useful for him and the company. Third one is analytical needs, new and better ways to perform. You're doing some tasks which is pretty good. Your efficiency is good, but I want to increase the efficiency. So I'll tweak it. And in this, we do what is called as operational research. The task that they're doing, can I do it better? So can I go to the smaller part of it and make it better? Can I save on time? Can I save on a certain process step? Can I increase a process step and decrease something else? So this is analytically analyzing the job and trying to make it happen. So this is again a training need that can be, that need be looked into, right? Fourth one is compliance needs. Compliance need means, let's say you're working in a factory, in a chemical factory as a production engineer, and you're good in production, but there are certain things which are required. Safety rules are there, mandated by the law of the land, of the state, of the city where you belong. And then your human, your relations with people, etc. So these are all some things you have to be complying with. Compliance means, immediately it means there is certain law, certain rules. Now you may not be following it perhaps, or you may be following it little, you know, average. And there is a need for sensitizing you to train on your safety, you know, prevention of sexual harassment, stuff like that. So you're sent for the training program. Just to ensure that we, by default, we don't violate any law which is laid down by the land. Because when I default a law as an employee, my company will be pulled up, and that is not a correct thing to happen. So I'm trained into that. Training needs can also be classified as normative needs, felt needs, expressed needs, comparative need, and anticipated future need. Normative needs means what? There is a standard. That standard you're not achieving. At your level, I'm expecting 100 units of output, but you're only giving me 60 units, 80 units. So normative needs. So I want to raise you from 80 in output into 100 output. Normative needs. Felt needs. The individual self-driven, he comes and tells you that I want to do this because I think I'll do better. So you ask him, why do you think so? After a dialogue, you come to know that there's a felt need. He feels inadequate, that he could do his job better if he had went through this training. It's a felt need. Third one is expressed or demanded need. Based on the demand and supply gaps of the skill, of the knowledge and skill. There's a vacancy in a certain department and there's a job rotation policy in the company wherein you can go and work there. So you go and tell your own HOD and the HR people that, look, I heard there's a demand, there's a vacancy in that department. I have the skills with me. I would like to go there. I'm expressing myself. I'm demanding to go there. So they'll say, yeah, we see the skill in you. So why don't you go there? A person in sales and service, for example, he's a good service guy. He's very good in servicing the machines, right? He also sells. But people have noticed that his service talent is more than the selling talent. He sells, it's a B2B selling. Machine is being sold to another company and there it's a B2B. So the selling is very easy, it's a technical selling. But they also noticed that he's a good engineer. He knows how to service a machine. And there is a vacancy for a service manager in the company. So he'll go and express himself. He said, look, I'm good in service. This is a feedback I got from so many people. And you also know it. Why don't you put me in that department? A good company will recognize that and they'll put him there. Express demanded need. Third one is comparative need. Compared to others, there is a need. Now, when you're working in a team, it is expected that people are comparable. 100 units, 90 units, 120 units, people have to be comparable. Now, there is a particular person in the team who's way above or way below. So we compare. We said, no, you have to come in parity. You have to come together. Not same, but somewhere in the near ballpark figure. 100, 110, 90, 120, little bit here and there. But if a average team performance is so much and one person performs 150, there are issues. Why? He's a super performer. He'll have an ego. There are a lot of other issues that will happen. The team morale and motivation will come down. If there's one person who's below average, much, much below average, again, the comparative need comes into picture. Everybody's performing an average of, say, 100 units. This fellow's way below, he's below, say, 60 or 40. And he consistently is like that. That also pulls down the energy of the team. Comparative need. Anticipated future need. This is based on the future projection. So I want you to do better 2 years from now when we absorb this new technology. And so you go for this. Based on projected future demand. Right? This diagram tells you training needs assessment generally involves three components. When I'm doing a training need assessment, there are three components to be taken into account as per this slide. First point is strategic or organizational analysis, the broader picture. From the macro, I come to the micro. The company needs this. The company's training need is this. Strategic organization needs. Strategic has got two things, long term, and also something which is going to boost up their profitability, image, etc. for the future. Who does this? It is. How will this come? It will come only when the task or the job is analyzed. So second is task and job needs analysis. The organization will grow only if the various human resources working there do their jobs and the tasks properly. So we have to go to the, from the macro, we come to the micro, task and job needs analysis. Now, who does the job? The job holder. The job holder need analysis comes next. What is the difference between job holder need and task job needs? Task job needs is addressing the task. Job analysis we did in HR, remember? Job analysis is all about only job. The job has to be done. Whether X does it, Y does it, that's not mentioned there. But when the X and Y comes, then the job holder comes, the human being comes. So job holder need analysis. What are his needs? Is he fulfilling his needs? Is he motivated enough to work? So these three are the points which are part of this slide. Okay. So this slide is now talking about organization need analysis. The details are given here. This involves understanding the larger picture about why the organization needs training. Understanding its business strategy, objectives, goals. Business strategy, objectives and goals. Its culture and climate. So it's an overall analysis about why the company needs training, who needs training, how is it aligned with the business strategies, the objectives, goals, etc. Whether the culture and the climate is supporting it or not. What is culture? Culture is at the top, climate is at the bottom. Culture is all the various do's and don'ts of the company which they would expect every employee to do. Culture is all about the do's and don'ts which the top management expects the employees to do. Now what are these do's and don'ts? Why do's and don'ts? The why part of it is every company has got its identity. It has got what is called the corporate culture. So when an employee is going to another company as a salesperson or a representative of this company, he should be identified that he is coming from this culture. In India, we call it sanskar. So this culture is giving you that particular identity, the pride, and also the values which the company stands for. This is what the top management expects. But at the bottom, what happened? This culture is taken up in the form of a behavior. This is a climate. As you know, the name climate keeps changing very often. Weather. So the people at the bottom, the people at the operation level, gradually understand that we need to be like this, but they may dilute it on a day-to-day basis. Possible. For example, I may go to a particular client. Let's say the culture of the company tells me that I must go formally dressed to a client. It's a culture. But I may go to a client without formals. I may go informal, but I'll get business. Now my argument will be, I'm getting business, so why should I go formal? That's a climatic argument. But the culture will tell me that when you go there, you're representing us. You are also part of us. You should feel the pride of wearing a formals and going there. Now this is a constant argument that happens in many companies where the culture clashes with the climate. Okay, now both of them have to be understood when you're doing an organization need analysis. Okay, the points that need to be considered while conducting an organization need analysis include competition between old and new business, what you were doing earlier and what you're doing new in case you're going for a new business. Second is portfolio, product portfolio and its demand. What sort of a product portfolio you're having? You have done it in BCG metrics and strategic management. What's a product portfolio? 20 products. In which categories are they? Are they stars, cash cows, dogs, or question marks? And their demand. How does product portfolio deal with organization need analysis? It tells us where is the organization going. If the organization is very ambitious, it's a star company, it wants to always have, you know, star products and also cash cows in increased numbers, then according to that, we must have that type of people. That's where the people part of it comes, and the people comes and automatically training is coming. That's where the organization needs comes. Please understand one thing, my dear friends, people who are into HR and non-HR, whatever you do in your life, ultimately it comes down to human behavior. As an engineer, as a person who has done production, marketing, etc., etc., everything I've done, why have I become a trainer? I'll give you my rationale. Because I realize that ultimately everything boils down to behavior. I spoke about this in the first chapter slide. So whatever changes you make, even if you make a small office change, it affects human behavior. That is why focus on the behavior, focus on the changes in the training and development, things happen. If I change the layout of this room from this center table into a corner table, it affects my thinking process. I suddenly get, because human beings are used to certain comfort zone. Now this is to be understood. We can't throw people on the winds and say, come on, you'll fend for yourself. A little bit of adjustment people do. But sometimes you make drastic changes and then you say, no, you have to do it. Now that's a bit too mean sometimes. Yeah, people would take up drastic changes, but allow them that bit of a hand-holding so that they go further. Third point is emphasis on effectiveness of resource utilization and cost reduction. We are having certain X amount of resources. All companies do not have all the resources for their goals. Remember that. All companies do not have all the resources for their goals at any given point of time. Sometimes manpower is more, money is less. Sometimes money is more, machines are less. This happens. This is the way the whole thing operates. But what is an organization? An organization is if optimum utilization of available resources. They are supposed to do that. That's where the skill of management comes. So emphasis on effectiveness of resource utilization. It should be effective, and at the same time, I must learn to reduce my cost. Now, don't reduce cost at the cost of quality. Huh? Reduce the cost because you want to be competitive in the market. In strategic management, we've got a thing called cost reduction and also cost reduction and also price pull, cost pull and cost price push. So I can have a higher pricing and a lower cost. Now, if my cost is reduced and the quality is maintained, it means I'm more efficient. I'll be competitive in the market. Now, who does this? Again, it comes down to human beings only. If that gentleman who's sitting in this particular position doing this is not properly trained, he doesn't think important about it, will there be an effectiveness in his role? No way. No way. Taking it further, point number four, business strategies of rival companies. So I must know what are the business strategy of my rival company. I'm a bank, there's another bank. So if I know their strategy, then I know how to tune my voice so that we are meeting the rival, the competition in the market. Point number five, R&D and innovation. Yeah, company is going through R&D, new products are coming up, innovation is going on. So I must know that also. It should be considered when I'm doing a thing. Mergers, acquisitions, diversification, expansion. I've already explained this in the earlier part. Automation and modernization. The company is going for automation. They're reducing the manpower. They want to have more of automation. Many automobile units. Every automobile unit today in India, for that matter, is automated. The manpower ratio before and now is 1:4, rather 4:1. If there are four people working, now there's only one person working. There's no need for having the three extra because automation has come in. And with that comes a training of this one person. This one person needs more training than the four people needed at that point of time. You know, somebody may say, why do you need training for one single person? When automation has come, with the automation comes other issues with the human being faces who's controlling the automation. Now, a one man controlling automation in the production shop floor has got a different mindset than four people who are handling production without automation. This has to be understood. And modernization, obviously, it's a part of it. Eighth point is manpower hiring and deployment and separation. Very, very crucial. I'm going to hire manpower to my company. I'm going to be doing what is called recruitment selection. Deployment, put them in different departments, and also the separation process, which is a retirement, resignation, etc., which we cover in HRM. Last process. So all this have to be considered when you're doing a training need analysis. In organizational need analysis, the first point we are discussing right now, one needs to consider the short and the long-term objectives of the company. The strategies at various levels to meet these objectives, the trends that are likely to affect these objectives. It's a very ongoing, broad analysis that needs to be being done every day so that we know exactly what we need. Long-term, short-term, strategies, various levels, and the trends that are affecting these objectives. Trend means what's the way the patterns of the behavior of the market, of the customers, of the business itself, the industry itself. So this is important to be mapped. It also includes human resources analysis, analysis of efficiency indices, and also assessment of organization climate. This is easy to understand. I'm not explaining it elaborately, so we can go ahead, take it ahead. It's there in this slide anyway. Human resources analysis is estimation of demand for human resources, determining staffing levels, over and understaffed. So you must know how many people are there. We ideally need, say, 100 people. Right now, I'm having 120 overstaffed, or I may be having 80 understaffed. So what is to be done about it? Now, this analysis is important. Do I cut down on people? Do I augment people? Maybe, maybe, may not be. But training need analysis will give you an idea. If I have a human resources deficiency or oversufficiency, what is to be done? What sort of training we need to give them? Analysis of efficiency indices. Efficiency indices are what basically? Cost of labor, productivity, output, wastage. These are all the measurables. So once the measurables are known, cost of labor. Now all of you must be aware that the cost of labor or labor market, if I can use a word, the labor market is based on the economics of demand and supply. So if you take a 12-month period from January to December, you'll find that in certain months, we need, companies need employees, they need people. In certain other months, they don't need people. So when they want people, that is a time when there's a demand for labor. So when there's a demand for labor, then when people apply for jobs, they'll get slightly better remuneration packages. But when there's a glut, when the company doesn't need anybody, during that period, if you apply for a job, you might be getting a lesser offer, lesser remuneration offer. This is the cycle through which it goes. So these efficiency indices are there available. And then from the basis of that, you'll come to know at certain point of time during the year, people need to be trained in this area. At certain other points of time, they need to be trained elsewhere. If you have been hired in a company when the company was having less people, then you need to be trained in a certain way. You, the same person, is hired in the company when there's too much of labor, then you're trained in a different way. I hope you're understanding it. I'll repeat. When the company is having a demand for labor and you have been hired at that point of time, your training input will be different as compared to when you're hired when the company has got more manpower. Because in both the cases, the conditions are different. That is how this training need assessment is related to that. Okay? Last is organization climate analysis, determining alignment between value systems being espoused, value system which is being claimed by the company, with which they are espousing means wedding. Okay, they say this is what we are doing, and the real practices, what we claim and what is actually happening at the shop floor level. The company says we are a highly valuable company, we have this, we have got this, 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 they make big claims. But the customer says just the opposite. One particular bank does that. They got excellent bank, everything is good about them, but the customers keep complaining. So there's a disconnect between what they are claiming, the value system they're espousing, and the real practices, right? So that is also considered when you're doing a training need assessment. Now we come to the second point, task analysis or job analysis. Job analysis or job evaluation, job description, and job specification. These are all the various terminologies, various processes when we learned HRM. Okay? Job analysis, job evaluation, job description, and job specification yields. It gives you substantial information about their tasks and their significance. This is actually the whole thing is spread open and say this is what we need to do in the task. The task content, its process is all thread is opened up to us. Task analysis is a systematic collection of data about a specific job or group of jobs to determine what an employee should be taught to achieve optimal performance. I'm giving a video lecture right now, so I must have a idea step by step what are the various things I need to do so that my effectiveness is high. Read the subject, take my experiences, put them in a proper order with the limited time, how well to deliver it. This is task analysis of my task. Results of task analysis typically includes appropriate standards of performance, how the task should be performed to meet those standards, and the knowledge, skills, abilities needed to perform the task. You can see this right now while I'm delivering it. Right? Continuing further, a variety of data sources are available for task analysis, including job description, job observation, asking questions about the job, and reviewing literature about the job. Collecting data to know how the task is. Through observable means, through the job description sheet, asking questions again on the job, which is live, which is real time, and reviewing literature about the job, the various things that are written about the job. Next point is the specific content of the present or anticipated jobs is examined through task analysis. Very specific content. You're supposed to go to only HNI customers, high net worth individual customers, a banker is told. Specific content. Then we have to see that this person who is handling an HNI customer, high net worth customers or rich customers, to put it in a very generic term, he needs to have a certain type of a training need compared to a person who is not handling an HNI. Specific content of a present or anticipated job is examined through task analysis. Third point, For existing jobs, information on tasks to be performed, that's a content in the job description. Skills necessary to perform these tasks, drawn from job qualifications, and the minimum acceptable standards obtained from performance appraisal are gathered. I'll repeat. For the existing job, information on the task to be performed, skills necessary, and minimum acceptable standards. Three things have to be gathered. Right? There are four steps involved in task analysis. Develop a task statement. Write down what exactly you want. In very simple terms, write it down. Using observations, interview list of tasks in a given, to be done in a given job is developed. Using observations, interviews, list of tasks in a given job to be is developed. So we create a task statement. Second point is develop a list of task clusters. Task clusters means what? Cluster means grouping. So I group those tasks which require common skills. A person who is doing recruitment in a company needs to have a human skills of learning to be understand people. Similarly, a salesperson also needs to have human understanding. So sales, a person who's doing frontline sales with dealing with customers every day, and a recruiter in the company, both of them are coming under the task cluster of human interaction. So task clusters are those where we have groups which are having similarities. Okay, this is the second one. The third one is KSA, the popular KSA, knowledge, skills and attitudes. So I need to develop a list of what are the knowledge required for this particular task. What are the skills, the doable actions and the attitudes? I may have knowledge and skills, but if I have an attitude which is negative, then I may not be progressing. I've seen brilliant people, brilliant knowledge, skills are good, but they refuse to cooperate in a team. That's very crazy. So this is also to be put forward. As a matter of fact, when you're recruiting and selecting people, when you're sitting in the interview panel, it's important to first and foremost, in my experience as a person who sits in the panel, that you have to first check the attitude of a person. Today, the major issue in many organizations I see is the attitudes of people, very intelligent people, very skilled people, is totally not in line with growth of the company. And these attitudes have to be first calibrated, they have to be corrected in line with the requirements of the company. At the beginning, it's a gatekeeping function. At the gate level, when the person is entering the company, that time itself, they should be calibrated. Fourth point is, assess the importance of the task. How important is this task? Now, what is importance? Involving the priorities of task hierarchy to determine most crucial tasks versus least critical task. The task is very crucial. A high net worth individual customer is calling you at 11 o'clock at night or 12:30 at night. And one of the things expected from you is that you should be able to answer the call. It's very critical. So such a person should know the importance of the task. Somebody else calls you, not at all important. Somebody says calling at 1 a.m. and asking you about what is the bank rates. Not an HNI, it is not a part of you. Now that is the least critical. Okay. So you must know the importance of the task, and according to that, you must do your training and need analysis. Okay. After collecting the information on appropriate training program may be designed, paying attention to performance standards required of the employee, the task they have to discharge, the methods with which they will employ on the job, the process steps, how they have learned such methods, etc. Now we come to the third one, job holder need analysis. The person who's actually doing the job is called as a job holder, the employee. I'm using an HR term here. After information about the job has been collected, the analysis shifts to the person or the individual, the job holder. This analysis identifies gaps between current capabilities of the job holder and those identified as necessary or desirable. The analysis may be either broad or narrow in scope. I may give a broader picture or a narrow picture. In a broad approach, what do? The actual performance is compared with the minimum acceptable standard of the performance. Minimum acceptable is you have to produce 80 units. your expected is about say 100 units. If you go below that 80, then the actual performance is pathetic, is not good. There's always a human element given. Na? I would expect 100 from you, but 80 is okay for me. I'll push you up to 100. But if 80 itself is not achieved, then you are down below. In the narrow approach, an evaluation of the employee proficiency on each required skill dimension is compared. Here, what are we doing in a narrow approach? We actually see what are the various skills he has and which skill is found wanting. Proficiency, that is done. In short, broader approach is about looking at the overall thing, about his performance. In the performance, which are the parts which is responsible for the low performance? Which attitude is responsible for the low performance? That is what we are doing. One is the performance itself of yours. Second is what is making the performance down? Narrow approach. The first method is based on the actual current job performance of an employee. Therefore, it can be used to determine training needs of the current job. The first method is based on actual current job performance of an employee. Therefore, it can be used to determine training needs of the current job. The second method, on the other hand, can be used to identify development needs for the future jobs. The first is talking about the job proper. What are the things that person needs to do? The second is about the person. What sort of development he needs or she needs. Okay. Last point in this slide is whether the focus is on performance of the job as a whole or on a particular aspect of the job. Several approaches can be used to identify the training needs of the individual. What does it mean? Is it that I'm expecting you to do a customer service? So customer service has got certain steps. Customer call every month as a part of your AMC or whatever. Meeting the customer, maybe he has got a laptop or something, you have to service it, clean it up, do something and come back. That is your job that you're supposed to do as a whole. You go and do that. I've seen the service guys come home and they do something, AC servicing or something. But the guy's attitude is a particular aspect. When he comes there, he comes with an attitude, he does something and he's very rude, he doesn't answer properly. Now that aspect is what to be also understood. That is also to be important. Is he giving you answers properly? Is he a person who's in a tearing hurry to do the service and get lost because he's got a target to be performed for the day? These are the things to be understood. The attitude, the particular aspect of the job that needs to be understood. Is he giving a proper report, service report to you, service, he has done the service, the report properly signed. Now these are things which you notice. Now he'll say the performance of the job is politically correct. I've done the job and come. But what about attitude? That is where the dispute comes. He'll say that the customer was not good. He was, you know, rude. The customer will say he was rude. That becomes very subjective. Okay. Output measures. How do I measure out? It involves performance data like productivity, accidents, customer complaints, performance appraisal, etc. So there's a measurable. The job holder need may also consist of work sample and job knowledge test that measure performance capability knowledge. If I want to know whether you know the job, now Vijay is standing behind the camera, my colleague, and I want to know whether Vijay knows the job. So what do I do before I'm assuming that I'm going to hire him? So I'll tell Vijay, come on, do this bit of a camera thing. Let's do a video. So that's what is called a sampling, work sampling. Then I ask him, what sort of a speaker, what sort of microphone you need to have, etc., etc. So I'll get some idea about how well he is. And the more specific questions you ask, the more clear answers he gives, I come to know that this man knows his job. Then I'll hire him. It is not that he knows everything. This is what I do by sampling. Then I put him on the job later on. That's a separate thing altogether. But this becomes an idea about doing a work sampling and also understanding the job knowledge test. Okay? Self-assess training needs. You assess it. The self-assessment of training needs is growing in popularity. Today we are telling people, you assess how well you have been trained. In this process, top managers ask employees and his senior, employee and the senior, to identify what needs are required for the department and the business, as well as skills needed for deficiency of the individual. So the senior and the junior, they are asked, what sort of a thing that you need? Let's do a self-assessment. So senior tells the junior, go through the training and you assess and tell me how well it has gone into you. Self-assessment is challenging if you're not aware about your own deficiencies. Okay, or if you start thinking that you are better than what, then also self-assessment requires a certain balance, proper objective outlook towards yourself. Because there are people who do self-assessment which is crazy, you know, it goes either they over-assess themselves or they under-assess themselves. So you have to be objective, you can't be biased towards yourself. That's growth. Transformation takes place only when you're objective towards yourself. If you've done a goof up, you must know that you've done a goof up and you must admit it. That is self-assessment. Self-assessment is based on the assumption that employees more than anyone else are aware of their weaknesses and performance. Only you know what you're doing. You know your weaknesses. You may project something to me which I may think as a weakness, but the real weakness, you know what it is. So you're the person who's holding a mirror in front of you and you have to take it. And your performance deficiencies. So they are in the best position to identify their own training needs. Attitude survey. Attitude survey is conducted by the subordinate of the supervisor or by the customers or by both, can also provide information on training needs. I have already explained it when I talked about the service guy who comes and does a service for a laptop or an AC. For example, one supervisor receives low scores regarding fairness in treating subordinates. He doesn't treat his subordinates well. He's got a low score. Compared to other supervisors in the organization, the supervisor may need a training in that area. It happens, some team leads, some managers, they treat their people very shabbily. I want only results, but behavior is very shabby. So people leave that particular division. Some other supervisors are good in detaining people. It's all about people skills. Similarly, if customers of a particular unit seem to be particularly dissatisfied, training may be needed in that unit. Okay? Thus, customer service can serve dual purpose, providing information to the management about service and pinpointing employee deficiencies and take the necessary action.